Hello. What is up? How you guys doing? Well, I'll have to say it's been quite a long time since I taught Velocity on a Saturday night. You guys are a lively bunch. I like that. He's excited. Normally I would be at like the 11:15 or 9:30 service, and me being one of them, it's just very tired. It's a tiring thing to be up that early in the morning, and so it's nice to be here in the evening time when you guys have pumped yourself full of Red Bull and eaten 16 Reese's, and then you're ready to go. That's nice. That's nice. All right. Well, most of you know me. Some of you don't. If you don't, my name is Coy, and I currently serve in the college ministry. So you guys are quite a few years away from that, but those of you who do know, I'm moving to Montana in a month. That's exciting. And I have prayer cards like this. If you want to, you can grab them. My wife and my child on them. And some prayer requests on the back. And you can grab those and be sure to pray for us as we leave and depart. And we would really covet your prayers and make sure that, we just value that you would pray for us. So if you would, you can grab those cards and do that. So tonight, I'm going to speaking out of the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. If you have a Bible, you can turn there, pre-mark there. I'm going to be jumping around quite a bit, so if you can't turn to the scriptures fast enough, that's okay. Those of you who have notes, you have an advantage. You can write down the little scripture reference, and then you can make sure you check out all the verses I talk about later on. Well, about a year ago, I read this article, which I thought was very interesting. And the title of the article said this: Rowdy Teens Beware, the Mosquito is Coming. The mosquito is coming. Now, I immediately thought, this is an interesting thing. I don't know what type of mosquito would be attacking rowdy teens, but I need to know about this. And basically, this guy in Wales, which is a country in Europe, he invented this little device called the mosquito that whenever he turned it on, it would make young people go away. Now, you have to be wondering, how would this even happen? Well, this device would emit a sound that it was so high-pitched that anybody over the age of 30 couldn't hear it. So just younger people were able to hear this sound, and it became so annoying to some young people that they left. So this guy was having a problem with rowdy teens who were out in front of his store and causing trouble. So he turns on this device, and eventually these teens, they get frustrated and they leave. And that's sort of how teenagers are viewed, isn't it? If you, being preteen or being teenagers yourself, you're viewed as someone who maybe is disruptive to society. You know, you get along with your friends and you get together, and all you really do is cause havoc. You get in there and you cause trouble. Now, I know a lot of you guys, I know that's not true, but that just seems to be the type of reputation that you have. You get together with your friends and bad things happen. Well, tonight, I'm going to be in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to be talking about one relationship in your life that's super important, and that's your relationship with your friends, So, again, a lot of you guys are here tonight with friends, whether you have known them for 8 years or for 8 months or for 8 minutes or whatever, you are here with some of your friends, and you may know them from school, you may have met them here, you may know them from your families being friends or whatever, but you all have friends here tonight, or most of you are here with a group of friends. And some of you here tonight, you spend more time with your friends than you do with your family, more time with your friends than you do with any other people in your life. And so your ability to have good friends is super important to your life. It's a vital part of your life. Now, life is made up of relationships. Your relationship with God, your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your friends, your relationship with your siblings. Life is all about the different relationships that we have. And again, the friend is one of the most common relationships that we can have. So it's really important that we understand how to have good friends and how to be a good friend. So we're going to look at three things tonight about friends and out of the book of Proverbs. Number one, we're going to see friends are to draw you nearer, to draw you nearer. Number two, we're going to look into the qualities of a friend, and we're going to try to make things a little bit clearer. And number three, we're going to take a look in the mirror. Take a look in the mirror. So number one tonight, friends are to draw you nearer. Draw you nearer. Let me ask you a question. What is a friend? We all have them. We all have spent time getting friends. Why are they so important? And what are they? Now the dictionary says that a friend is a person whom one knows, likes, and trusts, or a person with whom one is allied in a struggle or cause, or a comrade, one who supports or sympathizes with you. Now, I think that's cool. I think that's like a kind of an interesting definition, but it doesn't really mean a lot to us. I want to ask a better question. What does the Bible say about friends? What does the Bible say is so important about friends? Now, we're going to look at one word tonight, and that's the word ahab. Ahab. Whenever you see the word in the Old Testament for friend, it's the Hebrew word ahab. And in the Old Testament, the ahab appears 208 times. So the word friend appears 208 times, and 169 times it's translated the word love, or to love. So it speaks of human love. It speaks of love between one person and another person. Now, according to God's word, that means that our friends are supposed to be some people that we love. Friends are people that we want to love, or we have a desire to love. Now, before you get all freaked out, guys, and you're saying, I don't love my friends. We fight each other. We make fun of each other, but we definitely don't love each other. And you can get all uncomfortable, like, I don't love my friends. But here's the idea. This word love, it doesn't speak of the love that is between a man and a woman. It speaks of a love that's between two comrades, two fellow brothers. And the idea is that you have loyalty for them, that you have concern for them, that you have a desire to put them above yourself. And so that's the type of love that we're talking about tonight. So according to this, love must be the basis of our friendships. Love is the fountain in which we build all of our friendships upon. Warren Wiersbe said this, and you guys doing momentum groups? Some of you are doing momentum groups. Warren Wiersbe, I think you guys are doing a B-series book right now. He's the author who does those books. But Warren Wiersbe says this, true friendship is based on love, because only love will endure the test that friends experience as they go through life together. So in order to have a real, healthy, strong relationships or friendships, they must be based upon the desire to love that person. Okay, so let me ask you, is this true of you? Is this true of you? Who are your friends and why? Why do you choose to be friends with some people and choose not to be friends with other people? What are the foundations of those friendships? What are you building those friendships on? And why is this so important? I know some of you are probably sitting there thinking, man, they're just my friends. I like to hang out with them. I like to go over to their house after school. I like to go to church or whatever and hang out with them. Why are you making such a big deal about friends? Well, let me tell you, your friends really mark your life. The company you keep, the friends that you have, they directly affect your walk with God. They directly affect your ability to walk correctly with God. Proverbs, here's our first one. Proverbs 12:26 says this, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Let me say that again. The righteous, or you Christians, you should choose your friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Did you hear that? Did you understand that? If you don't choose carefully your friends, they can cause you to go into sin. Those of you who are Christians, who've been Christians for a while, you know this is true. If you don't keep good friends, it'll cause you to be drawn away. It will cause you to compromise what you believe in. And those of you who keep good friends know that those friends lift you up. Those friends support you. It's much easier for you to look and to act and to talk like your friends than it is for you to get all your friends to look and to act and to talk like you. Listen to this. Proverbs 13:30. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So you are marked by the company you keep. If you walk with wise men or wise people, you will be wise. Excuse me, I'm sorry. But if you keep the companion of fools or those people who make bad decisions, you will be caught in their destruction. Now, have you ever been caught in a fool's destruction or ever been caught in a decision where you got blamed for a bad decision for somebody else? Well, I know I have. I mean, maybe it was a decision that you made to go and to get into the car with your friend when you knew you shouldn't have. Or to go to a certain place or a party that you knew there was going to be people around that could cause you to make bad decisions. And then they got caught, and maybe you weren't doing anything wrong, but you got caught and the blame was placed on you. That's the idea, is if you are going along with people who are making bad decisions, you yourself are going to be placed in the same category. You'll be placed in the same category as making wrong decisions, even if you aren't making the same decisions as them. So you'll end up taking the same punishment as the people that you're with. So you have to choose your friends carefully, because they dictate your relationship with God. So you know what the main purpose of friends is. Why they even exist. Why are they even there? What is the main purpose of a friend? Well, what I've said is they're to draw you nearer. They're to draw you nearer to God. They're to build you up in the Lord. That's why they exist. They exist to support your relationship with God. Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Hey, Adam, can you give me some water? Thanks, man. Proverbs 27:9 says this, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. So, literally, counsel to the soul or building somebody up is as sweet perfume. That's why it's so important. Because if you choose the wrong friends, they'll lead you astray. But if you choose the right friends, they'll cause you to stay in the Lord. They're directly connected with your growth in the Lord. And I'll testify this in my life. I went through a long time in my life where I wanted to obey God. I wanted to live the way that God wanted me to live. But I constantly was being brought down by my friends. And I would, be in high school. And I would come home and I would say, man, why am I making certain decisions? Why am I doing these things? I know that God doesn't desire me to do them. And I'd go, man, I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of it. How many of you can relate to that emotion? Man, I know it's really difficult. It's really hard to go to school and have all non-Christian friends and then try to live the way God desires you to live. That's why it's so important for you, for you to have godly friends who are there around you to support you and to cause you to be supported in your walk with God. All right. Let's move on. Number two tonight. Number two, let's make things a little clearer. Let's look into some qualities of a friend. We all want to be good friends. Now, what are some things that we should make sure that we're about, that we should make sure that mark our lives? First of all, a friend should be loyal and supportive. Loyal and supportive. Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. If your friendship is based upon a love for another person, based upon the love for that person, you'll seek to support them. You'll want to be a support to them, especially when they're going through a hard time, especially when it's a time of trouble or adversity in their life. You want to make sure, man, when your friends are down, when they're having a difficult time, when they're, maybe their parents are getting a divorce, or they're really going through a hard time in school, or they're having a hard time with another friend, you as a friend should make it your first priority to support that person, to be there for them. That's why it says a brother is born for adversity. That's what the purpose is. You should to be loyal to those friends and support them in their time of trouble. Number two, a friend should be trustworthy. Trustworthy. Proverbs 11:13 says this. A tale bearer reveals secrets, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Have you ever had a friend that you couldn't trust? That you didn't trust them because they were maybe a gossip? Because whenever they were around you, they would gossip around other people. And so whenever you left, you always felt like maybe they were gossiping about you. I think we all have had experiences like that, where we are friends with a gossip who is constantly talking behind other people's backs. Nobody likes that. And it's the most common thing to see in teenagers like yourself. When friends go bad, when friendships go bad, when things go wrong, it's usually because one friend is gossiping about another friend, and you know, things are going back and forth, and all of a sudden these friends don't like each other any longer because one person told another person their secret. They weren't trustworthy when it came to being their friend. So we want to make sure that we don't get involved in gossip. We know that. We don't want to get involved in telling other people's secrets, in gossiping or speaking badly about other people. We want to be trustworthy people. And when you hear gossip, don't be afraid to call it for what it is. If you hear another person gossiping about a person, say, hey man, that's wrong. That's not a good thing to do. You know, that's a sin, and you shouldn't be doing it. And if we all take that responsibility upon ourselves, we all make sure that we're not talking bad about other people. And it's the easiest thing to do. You know, even in church, we'll say, hey, did you see that person? Man, let's pray. Let's pray about that. You know, let's pray for that person. We'll use that as a smokescreen, so to speak, to say, you know, we just want to talk bad about that person behind their back. And you know, walking through your middle school or whatever, you know, you're walking through and you say, oh, man, look at that person. Or this person, they've been doing such bad things to me or whatever. It's so easy to speak evil about another person. We need to make sure that we're not gossiping about people and that we're trustworthy. We don't read or we don't tell other people's secrets, because ultimately it just looks bad on you. It just looks, it comes around and nobody's benefited from it, and it looks bad on you. Okay. Proverbs 25:18 says this. Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. Proverbs 26:18 says this. Let me drink some more water. Sorry, guys, I'm a little sick. Okay. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is a man who deceives his friends and says, I was only joking. How many of you have ever done that? Have ever gone and you go and deceive somebody? I used to do this when I was little with my parents. You know, I would go and I would say certain things to my parents, and when they would say, why are you lying to me? I would say, I was just joking. I was only joking. And it's such an easy thing to do. It's such an easy thing to do to say, hey man, or to lie to your friends or to lie to your parents and just act like it was just a joke all along. We need to make sure that we are people who can be trusted, that we don't do things like that to deceive people, to trick people. Okay, we want to be people that have integrity, don't we? Do you want to have integrity? Do you want to make sure that people trust you, that you're being upfront with people? Okay. Number three. A friend should be honest, or lovingly honest. Lovingly honest. Proverbs 27:5. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In Proverbs 28:13 or 23. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterwards than he who flatters with the tongue. So a true friend should be seeking to... You guys all right over here? Yeah, okay. Thank you. All right. So a true friend should be able to speak the should be able to speak truth in love. Now, my true friends, I know I really value them because they're willing to say the things that I need to hear rather than say the things that I want to hear. Now, anybody can come up to you and say things, you know, for the heck of it, say, hey, man, you did a really good job, or you look really good today, or whatever, and they use flattery to get them to appreciate you or get them to like you. But real friends are those who are willing to say, hey, you're slacking in this area. You haven't been having your quiet times. You haven't been doing a good job. I notice this area of your life, and you really need to, you know, you need to strive harder for that. You need to do better in that area. True friends are those who speak truth rather than just deceive you and speak lies to you. That's what Proverbs 27 is saying. It's better to be faithfully wounded by a friend than it is to be deceived with kisses from the enemy. Okay, so we want to be willing. We have to be willing to be honest with our friends. We want our friends to be honest with us, but we need to be willing to be honest with our friends as well and to say hard things to them in love. Hey, if your friend is making bad decisions, you shouldn't just be saying, hey, I think he's doing okay. You know, he's doing all right. But no, man, this guy's having a hard time, and I need to be willing to say that they're having a difficult time. I need to be willing to be honest with them. And it needs to be done in love. So if a friend comes to me and is telling me that, you know, I'm slacking in some area, I openly receive that because I know that they have my best interest in mind. They're not just telling me that to hurt me. They're not just telling me that to be mean to me. They're telling me that because they want to support me, because they want me to get the most out of my relationship with God. And so they have my best in mind. And a true friend must be willing to keep other friends accountable for the things that they're doing. All right. Number four, a friend should be sensitive and wise. And this is my favorite point. A friend should be sensitive and wise. Proverbs 25:17. Seldom set your foot in your neighbor's house, lest he becomes weary of you. Man, lest he becomes weary of you and hate you. I'll read that again. Seldom set your foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. Now, have you ever been able to spend a whole weekend over at your friend's house? Or maybe you had a friend spend the whole weekend at your house. And in the beginning, you're like super stoked. Man, it's going to be so fun. We're going to do this on Friday night. We're going to do this on Saturday night. And you get excited about it. But then by the end, you know, by like Sunday afternoon, you're like, I don't ever want to see that person again. You get so tired of each other. You don't want to hang out with each other. I just can't wait for that person to go home. Because you've hung around each other too much. Now, I've had friends like that where you just, man, at first it's really exciting, but then it's like, man, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. But you don't want to say that to them. So it's like, okay, just don't come over as often. And, you know, those friends who maybe come over every day after school and they eat all your food. Now, I had a lot of friends like that. Maybe it's because I'm a guy. But I had friends who were always coming over and eating all my food. And, man, that's really offensive to me. You know, they're ruining my after-school routine of watching Saved by the Bell. They're ruining my routine of hanging out and, you know, eating corn dogs or whatever. And so it's what we're saying is be sensitive. Don't go around your friends so much that they become weary of you and they get tired of you. That they get tired of you because you have imposed upon them so often that they no longer want to hang out with you. So we need to be sensitive to our friends if they need time by themselves. All right. Now some of you need to hear this, you know. You've been hanging out too much with a certain friend, and you need to start hanging out with your mom. You know, your mom just called me, actually, and she wants you to be home after church. Don't go hang out with your friends. You know, go home. Hang out with your parents. Believe me, they'll appreciate it. You need to go home, and you need to spend some time with your family because they all miss you, and you need to stop eating all your friends' food. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you that from my heart here. Okay. Proverbs 27:14. Some of you have heard this. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. Now, seriously, I'm not a morning person. Some of you are morning people, probably not. Most of you probably aren't. I am not a morning person. And I really don't want somebody with a really loud voice to come up to me and start talking to me, you know, early in the morning. You know, I've been blessed to have a wife who's not a morning person as well. And so she's not, you know, I'm not waking up early in the morning and she's not like yapping my ear off. She's not talking to me about all this stuff. I don't want to hear it in the morning. I just want to be quiet. You know, let's just get up, relax, eat my Lucky Charms, watch a little TV, and, you know, and let's not talk so much in the morning. You know, really, I would be fine if nobody said a word to me before noon, because, I mean, I just don't want to engage in some meaningful conversations before, you know, I'm completely awake. Now, I used to have a roommate who made it his purpose to talk a lot to me in the morning for whatever reason. He was this, like, super hyper, you know, morning person. And, you know, and I'd like, stumble out of bed, like, go brush my teeth in the morning, and he'd be like, "Hey, man, how you doing?" I'm all right, I'm doing okay. "Hey, man, that's exciting, wow. Okay, well, oh, man, what is God showing you?" I couldn't tell you anything right now. I don't even know. I just need to go back to sleep. But he just, you know, right there in your face. And we need to be sensitive as friends that if we have friends who are not morning people, that we don't go up to them and start yelling at them. And if we have friends who have certain... whoa. Sorry. Certain areas of their life where we need to be sensitive to them. We need to make sure that we don't offend them just because we ourselves are a certain way. We need to make sure that we are sensitive to the way that other people are as well. Okay. Number five. Friends are quick to love and to forgive. Friends should be quick to love and to forgive. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Proverbs 17:9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. And Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. So as a good friend, it should be your ultimate desire to extend forgiveness to your friends. Those friends who have wronged you. Those friends who have maybe made bad decisions and have caused you to become angry with them. It should be your ultimate desire to extend love and to extend forgiveness to them. Biblically, we are to respond by saying, you know, in view of all that God has done for me, I need to forgive all the people in my life, even those who have harmed me the most. And especially if we have friends who have caused us, you know, harm, who have made bad decisions and spoken evil about us, we should be the first one to go and say, "Hey, man, I forgive you. Jesus forgave me of such a great debt, and I want to make sure that I forgive you the same way. I want to make sure that I am quick to forgive you." All right, number three tonight, our last point tonight, we want to take a look in the mirror. We want to take a look in the mirror. So having friends and being a good friend, it doesn't start with me, it starts with you. Having friends and being a good friend starts with you. Proverbs 18:24. A man who has friends must he himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So do you want more friends? Do you desire to have more friends? Be a friend. That's what the proverb says. Be a good friend, and you will have more friends. Start looking in the mirror and say, am I being the type of person that other people want to be friends with? Am I being the type of person that people want to be friends with? And be diligent to take control of the things that you can control. You can't control how other person's going to respond to you, but you can control how you respond to them, how you are friendly to other people. Now, if other people don't respect that friendship or respond to it, that's their problem. But if you're friendly to all people, you'll have much friends. Now, some of you here need friends tonight, you know, in the sense of you came by yourself. You don't necessarily have a lot of friends. Now, you who do have a lot of friends, it's your responsibility as well to make sure that you are being friendly to those people. people who maybe aren't sitting with somebody, or somebody who is who's constantly presenting themselves as the outcast. Make sure that we, as the church, we as a student ministry should go and love on those people and be friends with those people and say, hey, man, I noticed you're sitting by yourself. Hey, do you want to come sit with me and my friends? We'd love it if you came and you sat with us. Or if they say no, hey, that's cool. What if I sat with you? I mean, I know it means I won't be sitting with my friends, but I'd love to come and sit with you. So we need to make sure that we are looking out for people who need friends, but as well that we are being people who people want to be friends with. So maybe you have a lot of friends tonight. Well, let's ask the question. Do you benefit from them? Do you benefit from all the friends that you have? Are they a support to you? Or are they being a benefit to you? Are you benefiting them? Are they building you up in the Lord? Are they drawing you closer to Him? Have you chosen carefully your friends so that they don't cause you to sin? And are you being the type of friend that people want? Let's be diligent that we do our part in this matter. Are people better off because they know you? Are people better off because they know you than if they were? Would they be worse off for not having known you? Are you being a person who is, a constant source of encouragement to people? Are you being somebody who, people seek not to hang out with a lot because you don't really benefit them, because you're not a good friend to them? Do you yourself, do you want to see your friends grow in the Lord? That's a really good question. That's a hard question for me to answer, in the sense of, am I doing all that I can to make sure that my friends are growing in the Lord? So that's a hard question. Do you want to see your friends grow in the Lord? If that's true, are you doing those things that will cause them to grow more in the Lord? Are you holding them accountable? Are you guys having Bible studies together? Are you making sure that, if they're making bad decisions, that you're telling them that? Are you exemplifying true godly friendship to them? Proverbs 27:21. A man is valued by what others say of him. By what others say of him. So when people think of you specifically, what comes to mind? What comes to mind when people think of you? So before we point the finger at people and we start saying, well, this person did this to me, and this person did this to me, and this person whatever, we got to say, what am I doing? Am I being the type of friend that people want to have? Okay, just a closing note. Guys, your best friends should be guys. And girls, your best friends should be girls. Now, this is the best possible model that I could give you in order to have the type of friendships that I talked about. Because guys, you're able to hold accountable guys in ways that girls can't ever hold you accountable or would be appropriate. Girls can hold girls accountable in ways that guys could never hold girls accountable. It's the most effective way. Now, what I'm not saying is that you can't have friends, of the opposite gender. You should never talk to, the opposite gender. You shouldn't be friends with them. Of course not. That's ridiculous. But the opposite gender shouldn't be the people that you run to, when you are going through a hard time, when you want someone to hold you accountable, when you want someone necessarily to pray with. You should be running to a group of the same gender who has your best interests in mind, who is able to support you, who understands what you're going through because they get it. So that's the idea. You should have your best friends, your core friends, be the same gender that you are. So these friends should be the friends that you go to hold you accountable. And this goes for non-Christian friends as well. Your best friends shouldn't be non-Christians. They shouldn't be people who don't believe in Christ. Now, I'm not saying you should give up all your friends. You shouldn't hang out with them anymore, and you should, move up into the mountains and get away from all, non-Christians or whatever. What I am saying is that when you're going through a difficult time, or when you need accountability, when you need to turn to somebody, it shouldn't be a non-Christian, because they don't have the same priority as you do. If you're a Christian today, you have a priority on spiritual things that a non-Christian would never have. They can't have, but a Christian would understand and would be able to hold you accountable in, because they understand the priority of spiritual things. Now, you need to make sure that you love your non-Christian friends, that you support them, that you speak truth to them. But if they're not saved, they shouldn't be your best core group of friends. Those people should be Christians. All right. So we saw that a friend is someone who is meant to build you up, someone that was meant to draw you closer to God. We saw that about a friend. We saw the qualities of a friend, that a friend should be trustworthy and loyal and honest and loving and sensitive and wise. And we saw that it's really important for us, in order to be good friends, we need to take a look in the mirror and make sure that we are being the type of friends that we want to have. So true godly friendships, they're gifts from God. My best friends, the best friends that I have, that I've had for years, they're gifts from God. God gave me them because they're there to support me. They're there, and I value my friends so much because they're able to really support me in my walk with Christ. That's super, super important. I actually ran into a friend who I went to high school with. And this guy, man, I was best friends with him for a long time. And we used to hang out a lot. And, you know, we were on the football team together, and we played basketball together. We did all those different things. And I was always over at his house. And when I got saved, this was the guy mostly that, you know, caused me really to stumble. It caused me really to get caught into sin. And eventually I had to choose to give up that friendship. Eventually I had to choose not to hang out with him, because I myself, I wasn't strong enough to not fall into temptation when I was around him. And I really saw my life change when I gave up that friend for God. When God started bringing other friends around me to support me. Now, since then, I've really had the ability to, you know, I've had opportunities to speak to this guy and, you know, to share Christ with him and to support him, you know, because I'm strong enough now to be around him. And I've noticed that when his life goes bad, which it often does, because, you know, he deals drugs and he does terrible things. He's not that good of a person, you know. Since he's gotten out of high school, his life is continually just gone downward and downward and downward, and he's made a lot of wrong decisions, you know. But I've noticed that when things go wrong, and a couple days ago one of his friends died, and when things like that happen, I've noticed that he doesn't turn to his other, you know, worldly friends, you know, that he finds me, you know. They come and talk to me, you know. Why? Because they notice that something's different about my life, that there's truth in it, that there's a standard in it, that there's hope in it, that there's joy in it. And that's the idea, is that when we have non-Christian friends, you know, we should be there for them. We should love them. You know, we should support them. But they shouldn't be our support base. And, you know, maybe God will give you the opportunity, you know, to be that type of support for them, but they shouldn't be that for you. That should be your Christian friends. Again, so godly friendships, you should cherish them. You should covet them. You should nourish them, and you should cause them, you know, to be a priority in your life. So let's make sure that we have those in our life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and Lord, that it is life to us. Lord God, as we look upon you in your word, and as we pray to you, Lord God, that you speak to us. And you fill us with joy and with peace and with happiness. You encourage us. And Lord God, you rebuke us, God. And if there's any in this room, Lord, who have caused sin to live in them, Lord, who have allowed sin to, Lord, really just take hold of them in their life and are making wrong decisions, we just pray, Lord, that you would bring them out of it. And Lord God, that you would cause them to follow you, Lord, with all of their life. And not just on Saturdays or on Sundays or on Wednesdays, but Lord, on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and every day of their life, Lord, that they would seek to know you and to follow you, God. And we pray, God, that you would allow all of us to have true, meaningful, godly friendships that glorify you and that support our walk with you, God. And we ask, God, that you would speak to us, Lord, this week as we open up your word in our quiet times, that, Lord, you would show us more things that we need to know about being friends and having good friendships. And we just thank you that you're so able and we trust you. We give this night to you. We give the rest of this night to you. In Jesus' name, amen.